Whenever I look back on the life I've lived, I always tell myself that the best time of my life was during my teenage years. I often remember those days fondly as I spent them going to concerts, staying up all night playing video games, and messing around with my three best friends. I truly believe those were the happiest days of my life. But while most of them might have been filled with joy, there is one particular day that period of my life that still haunts my nightmares and has scarred me for life. I can still recall the ghastly events that occurred as I watched one of my best friends die that day. Despite all the years that have passed, I still can't get over the morbid scenes I witnessed. I'm also not the only one who's still recovering from what happened that night, as it's a tragic story the residents of the little town I grew up in can never forget. While I didn't know it at the time, it was a day the entire town of Water Valley, Mississippi would come to remember as the night when clowns came out to play. It all started on the 15th of October, 2016. I had gone to see a heavy metal band called Five Finger Death Punch that Saturday with three of my best friends. We'd gone to so many concerts over the years, but that particular one was the best we'd ever been to. When the concert was finally over, my three best friends, whose names were Nick, Jay, and Tyler, all got into a car and we made our way home. It was a six-hour drive from the Mississippi Coast Coliseum, where the concert was held, to our little hometown called Water Valley in Mississippi. Nothing ever really happened in our quiet town, as Water Valley, Mississippi only had about 3,000 residents. But there was really something off about that night, and it didn't take us long to find out. We'd just arrived at Water Valley after the six-hour drive, and we noticed so many people running around on the street. This was extremely odd, as it was late at night, and the entire town was usually asleep at this point. Confused, we tried to come up with an explanation for what was going on, but before we could figure out why the town was in a frenzy, we received a call from Nick's father, and he answered all our questions. Nick's dad, Mr. Murphy, was an officer at the Water Valley Police Department, and he told us that the police had been receiving strange calls all night from residents of Water Valley. All of them had reported that they were being terrorized and chased by evil-looking clowns. These bizarre reports were apparently coming from everywhere, and it seemed like a group of unidentified people dressed in eerie clown costumes had banded together to disturb the entire town. Officer Murphy then advised us to quickly get home and lock the doors, saying, "I and the other officers are trying our best to round up and subdue these psycho clowns, but we can't be everywhere at once, and the reports keep piling up, so I really need you boys to quickly go home and lock the doors. That's the only place that's safe now, and it's only a matter of time before someone gets hurt." The call from Officer Murphy shocked all of us, as we'd only left town for a few hours, and we couldn't believe what we were hearing. After the call had ended, we listened to Officer Murphy and made our way home. We all lived on the same street, so we planned to drop each other off one by one before Jay, who was driving, would go home, as he lived at the end of the street. We didn't see any clowns on our way home, and I thought we had managed to avoid all of them, but I soon realized how wrong I was, as when we were about 2 minutes away from our destination, we saw a sinister-looking clown standing at the base of our street. The eerie clown began to make his way down our street as he monitored the houses. I didn't know whether we should go back, but Nick told Jay to slowly drive forward, and it wasn't long before the clown noticed our car. The deranged man dressed in a clown costume then stopped and fixated his gaze on our car. I told Jay and the rest of my friends that we should step on the gas and quickly drive past him, but they didn't listen, as Nick and the other boys had different ideas. From the moment I'd met Nick, I knew he was a crazed daredevil who wasn't scared of anything. Nick always went out of his way to do crazy and stupid things like breaking into school at night to graffiti profanities on the wall or stealing beers from our local convenience stores. I didn't know why Nick acted like this, and I often wondered if it was because his father, who was a respected officer, always bailed him out of trouble. Regardless of the reasons behind it, Nick continued doing crazy things without worrying about the consequences, and I knew he was about to do something that was going to put all our lives in danger. Nick convinced Jay to slow down the car, as he wanted to give the clown a piece of his mind. I was against this and told Jay not to do it, but the boys were all on board with Nick's idea, so Jay started to drive a little slower. The crazed-looking clown who had stopped in his tracks looked at us with a disturbing look in his eye. Nick then brought out his phone to record the clown and taunted the clown, saying, "What do you think you're doing? You're not scaring anybody." The clown didn't like Nick taunting him, so he started to walk towards us. I repeatedly screamed the word, "Go!" so he could put his foot on the gas and get us out of there. Jay listened to this as he hit the gas and the clown started chasing us. But before we could lose him, he leaped forward and held on to the car's back door window. He tried to grab one of us while holding on to the car, and Jay tried his best to lose him, but amidst the chaos, none of us saw the tree in front of the car, and we collided headfirst into it. I blacked out for about 3 minutes before I regained consciousness. There was a sharp pain in my stomach, and it felt like I'd broken one of my ribs. There was no strength in my legs, but I managed to crawl out of the car. Jay and Tyler followed behind me, and I could tell they were badly injured too. Nick was the only one in the car, and he couldn't get out as he was still in a dazed state. I tried to call out his name and help him get out of the car, but that's when I saw him. I'd been wondering where he'd gone and hoped we lost him in the crash, but the clown was now looming over us. I could see blood dripping from his head and onto his face, but he still had a sinister grin as he reached out to grab one of us. It hurt to move, but adrenaline kicked in and we tried our best to avoid him despite our injuries. All three of us managed to put a bit of distance between us and the killer clown. But unfortunately, Nick was too slow, and the clown wrapped his arms around his neck, pulled him out of the car, and dragged him away while Nick screamed and begged for his life. I tried to go after him, but my legs gave out before I could get to them. Knowing I couldn't do anything with the injuries I got from the crash, I screamed for help, hoping someone would hear us. It wasn't long after that before I started coughing blood. I could tell I had some internal injuries and was about to pass out, but I was able to dig out my phone and call on Nick's dad to come help us. I hoped for the best, but I knew by the time he'd arrive, it'd already be too late to save Nick. I can't really remember what happened after that, as everything that followed was a blur. I'd passed out on the road as I heard some sirens in the distance. When I woke up in the hospital, the doctor told me that I suffered from internal bleeding and that my friends and I were lucky to be alive. A few minutes after the doctor had left, Officer Murphy rushed into my room and asked me to tell him everything that happened to his son, and I retold the ghastly experience through tears. I then apologized to Officer Murphy for not doing anything to save him, and he hugged me while telling me that it wasn't my fault. The entire police force carried out a massive search for Nick and the unidentified clown who'd taken him in the following months. During their search, the authorities uncovered traces of human teeth and fingers that had been buried near the scene of the crime, and forensics unfortunately confirmed that they belonged to Nick. The officers doubled their efforts after the gruesome discovery, as they still hoped to find Nick or even his body. Jay, Taylor, and I had joined the search for our best friend after we'd recovered from our injuries, but even with our combined efforts, neither Nick's body nor the killer clown was ever found. I've never been able to get over the horrors I experienced that day, and I am constantly filled with overwhelming guilt for not being able to do more for my friend Nick that fateful night. Our town has always been on high alert ever since that tragic day, as we never know when that particular clown might decide to terrorize our town once again. The story you just heard was based on a disturbing string of true crime cases that happened in October 2016. The authorities stated that there were several creepy clown sightings during the month of October across numerous towns in the United States. Many residents in the U.S. were calling in strange and eerie incidents with people dressed in clown costumes. An alarming number of reports came from Greenville, South Carolina, where clowns were trying to lure children into the woods. Additional reports came from Middlesboro, Kentucky, where a man who was spotted in a wooded area dressed in a clown costume was arrested. The authorities called it the 2016 clown hysteria, and it eventually spread to the state of Mississippi. A police chief in the Mississippi town of Chula reported seeing someone wearing a clown mask and carrying a machete. Another woman who lived in the small nearby town called Water Valley also reported seeing a creepy-looking clown standing in her backyard and terrorizing her. These strange reports kept popping up all over the country, and the authorities wondered what could have caused the mass clown hysteria. Some detectives believe the 2016 clown hysteria was caused by the upcoming horror clown movie called It, which was released the following year, as they believed it was a viral marketing campaign carried out by the movie's studio. However, when the movie's studio New Line Cinema was questioned about their involvement, they told the authorities that it wasn't a marketing campaign and they had nothing to do with the clown hysteria that was happening in the U.S. Despite the authorities' best efforts during the investigations, they were never able to uncover the cause of the sudden clown hysteria, and at the end of it all, a majority of the clowns who were spotted were never identified or found.
Be careful. Slow down.
Yo, oh my God.
Yo, what are you doing over here, bro? You're not scaring anybody.
Dude, stop.
Stop. Go.
What do you think of people who are afraid of clowns? Do you think it's a senseless fear of a person in funny makeup? Or do you think there is something more to them? I'll be honest, I've never been too afraid of clowns. I mean, of course they can be very scary in the right context, but they just weren't my thing. On the other hand, ghosts and ghouls seem genuinely terrifying to me, and nothing could be worse than having a ghost haunting your family. Until one night, I realized how wrong I was. That night, I realized that reality trumps fiction. That night, I realized that I didn't have to be afraid of ghosts. I had to be afraid of people who are still alive. And the clowns, those clowns, they were definitely very alive. It all started one cold Friday morning. I had to buy my son's costume for a school function. I didn't have much money, so I went to an old downtown store that no one seemed to go to. I opened the door casually and walked in. The shopkeeper greeted me with a wide, toothy smile that didn't quite reach his eyes.
Hello. Looking for something specific?
Yeah. I need a superhero costume for my son.
Of course. Follow me.
As we walked, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. The shopkeeper's gaze felt too intense, his smile too wide. But I dismissed it as my imagination running wild. Maybe it was just a weird, weird person.
Here we are. This should be perfect.
I picked up the costume and examined it. This actually does look perfect indeed. I'll take it. As I started counting my money to pay him, his face suddenly changed.
Your son is gonna love it. You know, costumes are a sensational thing. Never lose out on wearing costumes. My friends and I do it all the time. Maybe someday, you'll know what we dress up as.
That's nice. Have a good day. I hurried out of the shop with my heart racing. What a weirdo. After that, everything went back to normal. My son was in the school play and did very well. The costume was left gathering dust in the closet, although I'm sure he will wear it again for Halloween or Christmas. A few nights later, my wife was out with friends, leaving me home alone with our son. I was watching a movie when I heard a car pull up outside. Thinking my wife had returned early, I glanced at the security camera feed on my phone. What I saw made my blood run cold. A man in a grotesque clown costume was slowly making his way toward our house. His head jerked from side to side as he walked, and he stared directly into the camera with a twisted smile. I knew that man. It was the same man from the costume shop. My heart pounded as he reached the front door and began ringing the bell incessantly, each ring more intense than the last. In a panic, I called the police, explaining that a man in a clown costume was trying to get into my house. They told me to stay on the line, but I hung up to go get my son. Before heading upstairs, I checked the camera feed one last time. The clown was no longer at the front door. Relief washed over me, but it was short-lived. A loud crash echoed through the house as the clown smashed a window and climbed inside. I didn't even think about fighting back. I grabbed my son and bolted upstairs. I heard the clown's footsteps behind me. I barricaded me and my son in his room, holding him close as the clown violently banged on the door. My son clung to me, his tears soaking my shirt. He didn't understand what was happening, but he knew it was bad. I knew I could fight against the man, but what if he had a weapon? What if he attacked my son? I didn't want to take the risk. Then, suddenly, the banging stopped. I heard footsteps retreating, followed by silence. Moments later, I heard the front door bust open and voices calling out. The police had arrived. They searched the house but found no trace of the clown. Reviewing the security footage, they told me that similar incidents had been reported recently, involving people in clown costumes terrorizing families. They assured me they'd do everything they could to find him, but I could see in their eyes that they weren't optimistic. The next day, I had all the locks changed and installed additional security measures. I couldn't shake the feeling of unease that had settled over our home. Every creak and groan of the house made my heart race, and I found myself constantly checking the security camera. My wife tried to reassure me, but I could see the worry in her eyes too. Our son was too young to understand what had happened, but he sensed the tension in the air. I hated that he had to experience this kind of fear. I tried to go to the shop where I had met the man dressed as a clown, but it was closed. A neighbor in the area told me that it is hardly ever open, that it doesn't have regular hours, and that they don't know who is in charge of it. One night, a few weeks later, I couldn't sleep. I kept watching the camera, and to my surprise, I saw the clown again. I grabbed a baseball bat and crept downstairs, my heart pounding in my chest. I saw his twisted face peering through the window, but he didn't see me. "Come on in, you sick freak." The clown smashed the window and climbed inside. I was hiding and waiting until he was fully inside before swinging the bat with all of my strength, hitting him square in the face. He stumbled back, clutching his nose, but his laughter didn't stop.
"You were hidden. I didn't see that coming."
I swung again, hitting him in the side. He fell to the ground, still laughing. I stood over him, panting, my hands shaking. "You are not moving from here. My wife is calling the cops." The clown's laughter exploded. He was having a blast, and I couldn't understand why. Suddenly, I heard my wife scream. My heart sank. I turned my head and saw several other clowns coming down the stairs, dragging my wife and son with them. Their laughter filled the room, terrifying me. At that moment, I realized that I was not lucky to see the clown on the camera, but that I was unlucky not to have seen the rest.
"Stop! Let them go!"
Seeing no other choice, I released the clown and stood up, raising my hands in surrender. The clown quickly overpowered me, binding my hands tightly with rough ropes. They did the same to my wife and son. We were dragged into the dining room and forced into chairs. The main clown stood before us, a twisted grin on his bloodied face.
"See? I told you my friends love dressing up, too."
They bound us tightly, ensuring we couldn't move. The main clown directed his minions with a sadistic glee, watching with satisfaction as they poured gasoline all around the room.
"Why are you doing this?"
The clown leader struck a match, his eyes glinting in the flickering flame.
"Guys, why are we doing this?"
"Exactly. No reason."
Then he dropped the match, and the fire roared to life, spreading quickly. The heat was unbearable, and the thick smoke choked us. The clowns stood for a moment, watching the flames consume everything before making their way out. As the fire raged around us, I struggled against the ropes, desperately to try and free my family. The heat intensified and the smoke grew thicker, making it hard to see or breathe. My son was crying. My wife was trying to comfort him, but I could see the fear in her eyes. We were all going to die together. For no reason, in one of the worst ways possible. Just when I thought it was all over, I heard shouting and the sound of doors being broken down. Through the haze of smoke, I saw our neighbors rushing in, their faces determined. They fought their way through the flames, untying us and helping us to safety. We stumbled out of the house, coughing and gasping for air, just as the fire department arrived. The firefighters battled the blaze with all that they had, eventually bringing it under control. We sat on the curb, watching in shock as our home burned. The reality of what had happened was almost too much to comprehend. The police searched tirelessly for the clowns, but they vanished without a trace. The costume shop was abandoned, its windows boarded up. We moved to a new home, far, far away. The fear never left us. It was just too real. I focused on my family, trying to rebuild our lives. Maybe my wife and I can endure this, but we are worried that our son can't. We are worried that this was too much for him, and he will never truly recover from that night.